Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion, it's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Techscape on Taking Stock with the all-new Renault 4. Stylish and versatile. A high-tech take on the classic. Rethink Renault.
Now, when we think about AI and the types of careers it may threaten, we automatically think of possibly low-paid or repetitive ones. We don't think that the types of careers that created AI might be the most affected. With generative AI capable of writing machine code in seconds, is the age of human-written coding dead? Have we gone from Coda Dojo to Coda Nono? Now, Andy O'Donoghue, tech journalist, is here with me to talk about this. Okay, Andy, this isn't just coming from the conversation today that we're having, but instead, this goes back to the NVIDIA CEO has alluded that coding might be already dead in the water with the rapid prevalence of AI. Now, if it is the case that the CEO of NVIDIA is saying this, like, is coding dead?
No, it's not dead, but it has changed, and it is likely to change even more so, Susan, to be honest. You know, we've seen over the last 18 months particularly, coding has really changed. And you're right, I think the assertion that jobs are being affected, so many jobs, not necessarily low-paid jobs, but entry-level jobs for sure in coding have been affected. Somebody said to me recently that there really are no entry-level coding jobs left because AI can do those jobs. It also affects other industries at entry levels like accountants and finance and legal. So you have the application of AI that can do those jobs very, very well. Somebody needs to lead them. Somebody needs to guide them. And I suppose part of this is the fact that, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, we were all told, you know, that everybody should learn some coding. I was an advocate, you know, as a STEM advocate in general. I was enthusiastic about that, about, you know, digital curriculum. Some countries took it very seriously. Australia introduced coding onto their curriculum. Estonia were the country that really started it with technology, integrated into every part of their school curriculum. But people were learning coding, and not just kids. Kids were going to places like Coda Dojo 5 years ago, and they were taking lessons. They were having a lot of fun. We were seeing Minecraft and Roblox had kind of a spillover into that kind of elementary school learning. And then people were learning how to code for school projects. Business people were learning to code. Many of them were told, oh, you know, if you learn Python, you'll understand Excel far better. You know, you'll be able to write your own macros, that kind of stuff. Python is even useful for extracting data from company databases. So people took this very seriously. Now, a few years later, we have arrived at a point in time where you can code without knowing the syntax.
Well, let me bring my own experience into this. I didn't learn how to code. Of course, I could see the value of it, but never had the time. But what I absolutely have done is I've learned low-code and no-code technologies. And I'm going to elaborate on that a little bit throughout the course of our conversation. So just for anybody who's unfamiliar with the term, think back to when we might have started a blog, let's say years ago. We might have used WordPress, or now in terms of websites, we might look at Squarespace or one of those. No-code apps would be like Bubble or Airtable or Softr, where you can build apps without needing to use a line of code. And I think myself, Andy, that the ability to be able to use no-code and low-code is enough now. In fact, it can really bring you very, very far. So apart from AI and, you know, ChatGPT being able to generate actual code and so on, what's your thoughts on the development of no-code, low-code, like those services that I mentioned there?
And they are, I mean, first of all, they've got incredibly good.
Incredibly so, I agree with you.
You know, over the last, I mean, we now have very sophisticated, we mentioned Airtable and others, you know, that allow you to create an app or a website. But what they have done is over the last year, 18 months, they've added integrations that allow things like Stripe, and they allow
Google Analytics and so many more.
All of them, but they're useful for analysis. But to build a website or to build an app that you get paid for, that is worthwhile doing because it becomes, you know, has an economic advantage for you, you need payment mechanisms. Stripe is the obvious one. All of these tools now integrate it. So they've got really good at that. I suppose in a sense, we're talking about two different types of AI code generation. There are professional tools that you would use like Replit and Bolt, who will code in things like React Native and that will allow you to create back-end functions, define database schemas, and run in operational mode, production mode, they would say. But the tools that you mention, when we look at things like Airtable and others, they have also become incredibly useful and really beneficial. They are incredibly useful for somebody who has an idea and who wants to start a business.
And isn't that most businesses, though? Because I know what you're saying about, we're talking about two different things in terms of how the code is generated. But as a business person or as somebody who wants an app to commercialize, does one really care about how it's done, but the fact that it is done quickly?
Absolutely. And there are a couple of things about that, I think, for business people that are really important. Over the last 10 years, particularly the advent of the iPhone created the smartphone generation. And people said, oh, we should have an app for that. We should have an app for that. Then we got agencies who would write apps for you. But nobody in this country was able to go to someone and, you know, and get an app built for less than 10 to 30,000 euros, often more. So it stymied innovation because we were economically prevented. SME owners didn't have that money. Well, I'd rather hire another member of staff than have an iPhone app. Now you can create that app over the weekend. And that may not necessarily be an app to generate revenue, but it might be an app that you give to your customer service staff.
Or to aid productivity or things like that.
Aid productivity, integrate it into your CRM. All of those things are possible. And you can literally do it over the weekend. It's going to cost you maybe $20 to $50 a month to run it. But that is a fair investment. You mentioned the price of WordPress. WordPress is still going to cost you €30 a month. Plus, you've got to buy a template and all that kind of stuff. So older tools like WordPress, whilst they still serve some incredibly important websites in the world, the ability to create no code and deploy them is truly a gift for business owners.
Well, I am a massive advocate for what it has done, certainly in our own case. And it's just interesting as well, earlier on when you said like you were a STEM advocate. To me, being a low-code advocate is also being a STEM advocate. Yeah. But can I challenge one point that you made earlier about in the past you would have gone to somebody, whereas now AI can actually give you whatever you need, let's say for a template maybe in some of these apps. So now you may not even go to a person, you may go to an AI bot, which brings me to a big challenge, I suppose, to use that word again, which is if you went to somebody, Andy, and it didn't work, you could say, what's wrong with it? But if you go to an AI builder of sorts now, it's a black box, isn't it?
It's not really a black box, no.
Oh, okay. Explain.
Okay, so first of all, choose your tool very carefully. If you choose tools like Bolt or Replit, you see the code on the screen.
Assuming you understand it.
But it's there.
Okay, it's
yours
there.
To take away and get help if you need to. However, that's the kind of stuff that you do if you have some knowledge, perhaps, or you have the resources to hire somebody to investigate for you. But it's not like, Susan, it's not like you're going to create an app and it's not going to work. With these tools, you use a form of iterative development and you specify, this is the whole principle of vibe coding. You describe the type of app you want. And the AI creates that app for you. And then over the next couple of hours, you can add features, you can take out others. But importantly, and this is where the skill and indeed the STEM skill still remains in vibe coding or in no code, is you need to understand problem solving. You need to understand logic and apply that to your project.
And actually, just to pick up on that point, my degree was financial maths and economics in University of Galway. And when I left, little did I know of the things I've done in business since. It's when I've been trying and at times hopefully succeeding in building low-code apps. That's when I felt the logic of what I needed to apply in college actually really came back here. So you need partly the creativity of what is the problem you're trying to solve, as well as the logic in being able to do that. Of course, I also don't want to come back to you about then job opportunities. I mean, I couldn't imagine when I left when I left Galway back at that stage, that there would be such thing, let's say, as a full-time no-code developer or a low-code problem solver. Yeah. So where do you see job opportunities now? If people still want to go down the road of hardcore coding, or are there new opportunities in the realm we're talking about?
There are. The obvious one is what we call now prompt engineering. And so the ability to create prompts is very important. And there are lots of mistakes people make. You know, when they're starting to use one of these tools, they will say, oh, I'm going to give a tremendous description. I'm going to describe everything I need. That's not how you do it. You need to rely on the idea of iterative development. This is based on the principle of non-monotonic logic, invented by John.
Non-monotonic logic. Okay, right. Do you want to break that down syllable by syllable first, please, Andy?
This is the idea. The godfather, and one of the godfathers of AI, Irish-American scientist John McCarthy, created this. And it's where things change because of the addition of information.
Okay.
So this is how you program AI really, really effectively. You say, I would like to design an app, and you describe it, and then it does that. And then you say, and I would like it to look like this, and you do that. You don't do it all at the same time. You get the best possible iterative development. The great thing about these tools, Susan, is you can ask them for help. And you can ask them to look at competitors' websites. You can ask them to do research on standards and guidelines, and it will add all of them as well. That is creating opportunity. They are creating jobs. So prompt engineering and quality assurance in the no-code era are changing, creating opportunities. Entry-level jobs might be disappearing, but we also have a wonderful combination of left-right brain, hard and soft skills coming into the industry as well.
Isn't there a problem, though, in terms of the labour market, that if there are no entry-level jobs, like what do we call those jobs where the entry, it's like saying, how do I get into the building if the door at the front isn't there? Like, are we now assuming people would just go in and say mid-level, and we're assuming they have not just the technical experience, but generally the managerial experience one might expect at that stage? What do you think the unintended consequence of that is?
It's a great question, and it doesn't just affect the technology business. It affects legal and finance.
And culture.
And
everything.
It affects everything, you know, anything that AI is kind of displacing. I think what we'll see, certainly in my industry, I think what we'll see is that final year university projects, master's projects, will focus very much on production level development and deployment, understanding no code, saying, okay, this is what I built, this is my skill set. We might start to see people who specialize maybe in finance, maybe in engineering, maybe in, you know, language, things, kind of subsets of the technology business, so that you have the skills to develop and to ask the right questions and to work as a code assistant to the AI. You know, that's the way, you know, that the industry might shake out. So the entry level jobs might be gone in one sense, but people have to start. And I think probably what will happen is they will come with new skills, because hopefully universities and curriculum will start to address this.
My last question, because we've danced around this one, is the more code and data and users interacting with them, let's take that combination of all three, leads to more cybersecurity challenges. Do you see a proportionally greater need for cyber awareness and cyber skills in the years ahead?
There's no doubt. This has been increasing. The demand, the need, and the importance has grown. And it isn't just because of the code we write. Yes, we have more people writing code, but small companies creating apps, you know, they mightn't sort out their security. And so their tables or rows might be accessible to the public. And the next thing you know, people have access to your whole CRM system. But our awareness of cybersecurity generally with, you know, don't forget, you mentioned NVIDIA, you know, we've got a chip in practically everything now, but that includes your desktop phone, that includes your combi boiler at home. All of these things, you know, need what's called MDM, mobile device management. So the global threat of cybersecurity has never been greater, because it is never more rewarding as it has been now. So we have to be conscious of that.
And therefore, anyone who's wondering where to direct their career energies, you have it there. Thank you so much indeed, Andy O'Donoghue, tech journalist, for joining me today to talk about this topic.
Thanks for having me, Susan.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.